peace, love, and of course, guidance. I'll see y'all next week.
Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're here again for another Wednesday. This is the Word of Mouth for today, December the 23rd, 2009. And we got a big show coming up tonight. My name is Daniel Libby, and we got the Word of Mouth Wednesday, 7 to 8 p.m. We're going to start off the show today with a recap of the Copenhagen Agreement. A worldwide treaty has been signed, a framework is in place, and what does it mean for Canada? We're going to get into all of that coming up on the show. Plus, the HST is now only months away from being implemented. In 2010, we'll have words on the 13% harmonized tax that's going to be coming in to the province of Ontario. Plus, we've got audio featuring the Toronto True Seekers, Black Krishna's pick for the 2009 Person of the Year. Plus, we got the Mumia Abu Jamal commentary. We got our Word of Mouth Wednesday archive pick for the interview of the year on this show. And we got Robin Yento's clip on highlights for 2009. So we're going to be running down a lot of what happened this year today on the show. So stay tuned. Word of Mouth Wednesday, 7 to 8 p.m. We'll be right back on CKLN 88.1 right after this. Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're back here, and to start it off on today's show, we're going to be getting into the monumental Copenhagen Agreement, a treaty that's been signed by world leaders last week. It was signed in Copenhagen, Denmark, and it involves the green movement, it involves the environment, and it involves the carbon situation, carbon trading, carbon offsets, caps, and trades. Well, we got some information. I think actually maybe we'll just start it off with some of the officials, Canadian officials. And in this clip, you're going to hear, I just recorded a few minutes off of Question Period, the CTV show on Sunday mornings, and we're featured an interview this week with the Environment Minister, Jim Prentice, who's back from Copenhagen. He had been there doing the negotiations on behalf of Canada. And then also you'll hear the responses of the Liberal, Dominic LeBlanc, and the NDP, Judy Wasilcielais, on the situation of the treaty in Copenhagen. This is what they thought. Here, just to start things off with some of the officials in Canada, here's what...
We're proud of the outcome, and history will judge this agreement very well.
Well, you talk about the negotiations being tough. How tough were they? At any point, did you feel that you were threatened? Did you have to have a bodyguard? Were things that bad for you?
Well, of course, you're aware there were very significant protests in Copenhagen. But tough negotiations, really, in the sense that this didn't just crystallize in the closing hours and the high drama with the leaders present. But certainly these are negotiations that have taken place over the course of the year. We've had extensive negotiations in the so-called Major Economies Forum, over six or seven sessions over the course of the year. A number of other things leading into Copenhagen, all culminating eventually with the leaders there and getting down to brass tacks on some tough issues, some very difficult issues. This is an agreement that for the first time is a planetary agreement that requires the United States, China, India, Brazil, all to reduce their carbon emissions. That was the problem with Kyoto. It never did that. So we've achieved that objective.
Copenhagen represents some positive developments. To be fair, the fact that so many countries agreed to list their emissions, the fact that there's a process now to help with billions of dollars, developing countries improve their energy efficiency, take advantage of new technologies, that's positive. But whatever agreement was reached in Copenhagen was no thanks to the Harper government. In fact, Mr. Harper was excluded from a number of critical meetings because Canada was seen as unhelpful and obstructionist when they arrived there, and Canada arrived with no real plan of its own. So Mr. Prentice is now trying to pretend that somehow there was a great victory in Copenhagen.
The objectives of the government of Canada on the international stage have all been achieved. All of the negotiating objectives that we had are built into this agreement, and so we'll be moving forward with a 2006 base year. We will be moving forward with a minus 20 by 2020 target, and we'll be moving forward with harmonization on a continental basis. Those are the rules. Those are the international rules that have been agreed upon.
And I think it's very, very difficult for Jim Prentice to overcome the disappointment that Canadians feel. They would have expected Canada leading the pack in terms of setting firm targets, not excluded from a meeting of key leaders in the world on this issue. So it is a sad day for Canada. It's a really disappointing moment for Canadians as they go into the holiday season.
Word of mouth Wednesday. So we're back here. Those were some words from the officials. What happened in Copenhagen? We're seeing some movement. We're seeing some changes here in Canada. The big announcement, they're going for a 20% reduction of emissions by 2020. So within the next, 10 years, we're going to be doing 20% less emissions, hopefully, by the government's numbers, and that hopefully will be enough to prevent the world catastrophe that a lot of the environmental movement is saying could happen if we don't get the emissions under control. So maybe 20% less of what is being emitted today in terms of greenhouse gases will be emitted within the next 10 years. They're going to cut it by 20%. Hopefully that will be enough. We're not sure what they also got planned. You know, it is the holiday season. We're getting into the spirit, and you know, people are. There's people that have taken to the streets, including the Toronto Truth Seekers. They're holding the street actions, and we got a clip right now to play on the Toronto Truth Seeker street action involving their actions towards the Copenhagen Agreement and the world leaders that had just signed on to this. Toronto Truth Seekers took to the streets near Yonge and Dundas, right close to where we are broadcasting here, right in CKLN here. We're right near Yonge and Dundas, so on Saturdays, usually Toronto Truth Seekers have been meeting up, and this is their action on the situation with global cooling and the Copenhagen Agreement.
Another scandal, climate gate show. They know they lied, admit they emails, try and East Anglia you. Finding angles all the time and caught just in time to stop us coping with enslavement. Better fly her up and hit the pavement straight up. On to the next, no one world government.
We might have believed it was hard to find money and there were competing trade-offs before we just went through a year in which $4 trillion went to bailing out the financial system.
Global cooling info.
Every drop of carbon dioxide counts.
Do your part to stop global cooling.
And together we can stop global cooling.
Carbon taxes will solve everything. Are we going to have to pay a carbon tax on the paper money I used to pay my carbon taxes with?
You do the right thing for the environment, it's the right thing for business, because what's good for the environment is getting rid of waste. What's good for business is getting rid of waste.
The other thing is, as soon as you set a carbon neutral goal, you know that at the very least to get down to zero, you have to go out and buy what's called offsets. Well, that's now a cost that's baked in.
That's like a carbon tax on a carbon tax.
A lot of these things actually have negative cost.
And on the other hand, we spend a heck of a lot of money and potentially bankrupt ourselves in doing so.
That's how the Live Green Toronto membership card was born. Now, Torontonians can actually save money and the environment every time they shop.
The idea behind it is to create a global carbon taxing structure where we get used to paying taxes on everything.
As chair of C40, I'm curious about what you think the C40 will be able to accomplish there.
Well, what I'm hoping is that we're going to show what cities are doing and show nations how to fight climate change, and that there are real policies like what the TD Bank's doing, or the City of Toronto, or the City of Copenhagen.
It's just another way for, you know, big polluters to get away with.
Sounds like you've got an opinion, so go ahead.
No, I'm asking you. I would like your opinion. Actually,
I think it has a place if you have binding targets, because it allows the economy to work. Everything we can do, we are doing in this city. We can show the world how. That's why we're here in Copenhagen.
Carbon dioxide is not evil. You exhale it every single day.
We're on a track to decarbonizing our economy, to moving away from fossil fuels. And as Sheikh Khomeini once said, the Stone Age didn't end because we ran out of stones. Okay, it ended because we found something better.
When you take the time to think about how much CO2 is emitted every day by all of the active volcanoes on the planet, and it's equivalent to about 300 million cubic tons every day. And then you think about how much that we produce on a regular yearly basis. It's about the equivalent of that. And then you multiply the daily times of the volcanoes by that, and you get an exponential amount that's crazy, skyrocketing way over the amount that the humans have. To say that the humans have done it is a very controversial remark, considering that really it's been going on before we got here, and it's going to be going on after we got here.
Together we can stop global cooling!
I don't really agree with the carbon tax. I agree that it might create a little bit of incentive, because frankly nobody wants to pay more taxes, but really it depends what it's going towards, and I don't think they figured out what to put it towards yet. So no, until they figure out what to do with it, I don't believe that they're ready to impose a carbon tax on us.
It's let the Earth do what it just was designed to do, to take care of itself. Because the Earth is good. The Earth takes care of itself. It's regenerating itself with oil, everything.
The threat of irreversible changes, and this is the most frightening thing. If the climate flips into a completely different system, we won't know how to push it back.
They're worried about the global cooling as well.
Yes, they're worried about the global cooling. It's getting mighty cold here in Canada. We're here with the Toronto Truth Seekers, the Ostrich Hunters, freedomlink.org.
Look out for a carbon tax. Community is also known as the inventors of something known as the toxic assets, toxic waste, also known as derivatives, estimated to be in the quadrillions. Quadrillions of derivatives exist. How many carbon credits will exist? We could be into a state of septillions.
On to the next, no one world government. Take your carbon tax and start shoving it.
Fear, because I am here to save you.
A septillion is a lot of money.
It's not going to be paid in dollars or pounds or euros. It's going to be paid in human lives. And I don't think you can put a price on that.
So let's all do our part to stop global cooling.
All right, so those were some clips there featuring the Toronto Truth Seekers Street Action Stop Global Cooling campaign that's been going on, awareness, raising awareness on the carbon situation involving the Copenhagen Agreement, which was just signed last week. And those are some words from the street, and then also intercut there with some clips that you heard. You could hear some clips of the mayor's show, David Miller's show, and David Miller was one of the people that was actually, he was the chair of the mayor's meeting at Copenhagen, speaking about the environments and cities and raising awareness on that. So Mayor Miller was around, and then also you also heard some clips there of Elizabeth May and George Monbiot from the Monk Center debate on the climate change issue. And well, it's a major situation going on with the Copenhagen treaty, and then we might even be getting into a bit more of that a bit later on in the show. I just wanted to just take a quick music break here. We got a local artist that we're going to be playing here. This is the Raw Dog, and it's a track called Living in a Time Behind the Curtain. Stay tuned. Word of Mouth Wednesday. We'll be back. Check out the Raw Dog. You know,
the administration seems unwilling to subject its war strategy to oversight by the Congress. We face the widespread use of private forces seemingly accountable to no effective system of oversight or law. While tens of thousands of these contractors provide logistical support services for the military, thousands are heavily armed private soldiers roaming around. These forces work for U.S. companies like Blackwater, Triple Canopy, and DynCorp, as well as companies from across the globe. Some contractors make in a month what many active-duty soldiers make in a year. Indeed, there are private contractors in Iraq who make more.
Just fine. Philosophy, hypocrisy, the way they run democracy. Power of the people given to the aristocracy. Capitalist monopolies take over economies, corrupting everything in sight with their ideologies. Decapitate the monarchy, emancipate the colony. Anticipate the activation of ancient astronomy. Raw dog is prophecy above the ancient sophistry. Buried and excavated by people through archaeology. I'm in the place of poverty where people have no property. And a valley where human labor is a commodity. I live my life honestly, reject the wealthy promise. silence me until the end. I won't defect to ideology. I give people apology for the human atrocity they will experience if they choose to arm up and follow me. There's no way that you harming me. I'm the rebel with armories, with more slugs than drugs that you find in a pharmacy. We're living in a time where they manipulate the mind of the people into thinking everything is just fine. We're living in a time where they manipulate the mind of the people into thinking everything is just fine. We're living in a time where they manipulate the mind of the people into thinking everything is just fine. We're living in a time where they manipulate the mind of the people into thinking everything is just fine.
Or something is fundamentally wrong with the system. Brigadier General Carl Horst of the 1st Infantry Division became so outraged at a contractor unaccountability that he began tracking contractor violence in Baghdad. In just 2 months, General Horst documented 12 cases of contractors shooting at civilians.
Word of Mouth Wednesday. We just played a very serious track there. Raw Dog, Living in a Time Behind the Curtain. You can check that one out. He's got the video up on YouTube on the Psychedelic Ethnologue channel. Just search Raw Dog, R-A-W-D-A-W-G, Raw Dog, Living in a Time Behind the Curtain. That was the track there. And I just wanted to get into, maybe we'll switch up the subjects here, because the HST is a serious subject that we can get into. Let's start it off with a interview here that Robin Nieto did with Peter Tabbins, and here is some words on the MPP, Peter Tabbins of Toronto Danforth. He's with the NDP. The NDP is the one political party that is against this HST. You know that the provincial Liberals and that the federal Conservatives have joined forces on this issue, and they're supporting the HST. The NDP is against it federally and provincially. Well, here's what the MPP Peter Tabbins had to say.
NDP MPP for Toronto Danforth, Peter Tabbins.
Peter, what is the big deal about the HST? Isn't it just about harmonizing taxes rather than raising them? I mean, Ontarians are already paying 13%, and the tax will stay at 13%. What do you say to that?
Well, you know, harmony is a really wonderful word, but what's happening here is a big tax shift, and what it's going to mean is that all kinds of things that used to be exempted from the provincial sales tax in the past are now going to be covered by provincial sales tax. So if you're working at minimum wage, if you're working part-time trying to get through school, if you're a senior, you're going to find your everyday expenses are going to go up. There are tax reductions, income tax reductions, but frankly, a lot of people are on minimum wage or on a pension now don't pay much in income tax, but they're going to be stuck with this particular tax. It's going to drive up people's cost of living, and I think just make life in the city a lot harder.
Well, what about all the exemptions? The government's dedicated a page on its website to it. They've been coming out in the papers with a whole set of exemptions. It's actually not so easy to read through all these exemptions, but, you know, for instance, say condo fees. They say that condo fees have been exempt, so, you know,
Yeah, but it isn't the condo fees that we're going to be taxed. What's going to be taxed are all the expenses that make up the condo fees. So if your condominium has a central heating plant, then the fuel that ran that plant or runs that plant is going to be charged an extra 8% in harmonized sales tax. If you are relying on your condo to do repairs in your building, then the labor in that contract work is now going to have 8% added onto it. If you are paying for the electricity to light the hallways and light the garage, 8% is going to be added on there. So, no, there is not a direct charge on top of condo fees, but all the elements that make up the condo fees, the maintenance costs, are going to have tax added to them. And when I talked to Rosario Marchese, who's the MPP for Trinity Spadina, who works with an awful lot of folks in the condo sector, his calculation is somewhere between $27 and $32 a month is the impact of condo fees, or of the tax on people's condo fees. And people are going to feel it.
All right. So, but the government is arguing that it needs to reform the PST and that billions of dollars will be going to the Ontario government, and this is going to be used to benefit schools and hospitals.
Well, as we read it, in fact, there will be substantial tax cuts on the other side. There's something like a $2 billion corporate tax cut. There will be income tax cuts. There will be a removal of the PST on a lot of the business expenses that large corporations have. So that in fact, the total revenue going to the provincial government is about the same or a little smaller than it is with the current system. So in fact, those hospitals, those schools, those universities are not in line to get more money. What's going to happen is that people in this society who don't get much of an income tax break now are going to be paying a lot more in taxes than they were before.
But they said, but the government is saying that the HST will create jobs.
You know, just about every government on the right that wants to put through a tax-cutting package for business always says that their tax cuts are going to create more jobs. I don't buy it. I didn't buy it with Bush. I didn't buy it with Harris, and I don't buy it with McGuinty.
Yeah, I'm the tax man.
Word of mouth Wednesday. We're talking some major issues here. HST is coming in, a 13% tax affecting Ontario residents, and people are speaking out, and one of the groups that's speaking out is Toronto Truth Seekers. We played the earlier clip on the Copenhagen Agreement. Well, this is a few of the Toronto Truth Seekers. When I asked them what they thought about this HST, a harmonized sales tax, here is a bit of the response that you can hear from the people on the HST.
To do with the major tax we're seeing coming in is a 13%.
13, the magic number, 13.
13% harmonized sales tax, they're calling it. Do you have any comments on this situation?
Sure, harmonize. The first four letters of that are very important. They seek to harmonize us and harm. You know what? The bottom line is that they want to get us used to these taxes. They make it seem like if they harmonize things, that's going to provide some sort of bureaucratic savings, and then that's going to get passed on to the people. The problem is that the government does nothing but continue to grow. So those savings are never passed on to the people. The bureaucracy never shrinks.
And all our politicians are selected, not elected. I mean, if they were elected, we would have a choice if we want to pay the HST. We have no debate on that.
When the government says they're going to take an increasing percentage of your wages, your salary, your earnings, your spendings, you never make more money out of that, no matter how they spin it. So I don't see how this is good for Canadians.
We're trying to show people basically how the laws are being stripped away from us. That's all we're trying to show. So hopefully new people will start to wake up and see that this is not a democracy. This is a fascism. This is fascism because, I mean, who elects the HST?
Seems like a lot of taxes are increasing. Why would you say this is going on?
Well, they want to drive us all into bankruptcy and poverty, and they want to give the bureaucracy an excuse to turn on us. And so what they're going to do is they're going to say, we're going to tax the citizens more. Taxes pay the bureaucracy's salary. And so if the citizens don't pay it, then the bureaucracy gets fired. And you basically pit the people working for the government against the people. And that's part of this whole taxing scheme. Generate more revenue, pay off our debt.
The government of Canada has dropped the ball.
Word of mouth Wednesday. So we're getting into some big issues today on the show. We started off the show talking about the carbon tax. We also just got into the HST tax. We got words from Toronto Truth Seekers. We got words from federal politicians, provincial politicians, and next up, we're going to be getting into the interview of the year, selected at least it's my personal pick for the interview of the year. And I went through a lot of different interviews, found one in the archives that I think will be the pick of the year. And, well, we're just going to get into that right after we play a quick track here. This one's by Promise, and it's the outro from the mixtape produced by Chris and Drop. Check it out. Word up. Word of mouth. It's about 7:30 p.m. We'll be back right after this. Happy holidays.
east. The coolest in the east. The sharpest MC out, the smoothest in the beats. The coolest, what? The coolest, what? The coolest, what? The coolest. The coolest in the north, the coolest in the south. My God, by far, the coolest kid that's out. The coolest, what? The coolest, what? The coolest. I love the Lord, but sometimes I feel like he loves me more. When I shout and the crowd starts to love me off, that's when it all starts to rub me wrong. When the fans from the stands come approaching me, clapping, telling me that they've been watching me closely rapping. Like, Prime, I heard your song, it wasn't true. I don't know what it is, dude, but it wasn't you. You was like Ye before he dropped out when he was in school. Sort of like Lou when he wasn't cool. God said, promise, be the same dude. Just make sure you acknowledge who made you. The coolest in the west, the coolest in the east. The sharpest MC out, the smoothest with the beats. The coolest, what? The coolest, what? The coolest, what? The coolest, the coolest in the north, the coolest in the south. My God, by far, the coolest kid that's out. The coolest, what? The coolest, what? The coolest.
Word. Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're back here in the studio, CKLN 88.1 FM. If you're listening online, CKLN.FM. If you're on Rogers Digital Cable Channel 947, that's right, Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're here on Wednesday, 7 to 8 p.m., and we're just going to run through our next clip that we just wanted to play here. Is a clip that, we'll be running it down, actually, in a few seconds here. We just wanted to go into, actually, we hyped this one at the beginning of the show, and I think it might just be about time to get into it, because it is getting close to the end of the year, and we're going to be playing the Word of Mouth Wednesday interview of the year picked by me in a few minutes. But first, I wanted to just play a quick clip. When I spoke with Black Krishna just a few days ago, I asked him who he thought would be the person of the year for 2009, because we know Time Magazine has picked the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Ben Bernanke, as the Time Person of the Year. Well, here is Black Krishna's Person of the Year for 2009.
Well, Person of the Year, I say Alex Jones. You know, give it to him. Right or wrong, and good or evil, he's producing some of the best stuff that we can use to understand the world. And then it's up to us to do what we can where we live, and to think of new ways to deal with kind of a problem we all have. It is a global problem, but it needs a local solution. It's sort of understand that there is a hidden layer of information and a hidden hand that controls the world, kind of an organized cabal worldwide called the New World Order, that we need to deal with logically and rationally and take seriously, and show other people who don't believe it exists that we take seriously by sort of getting our stuff together and saying, look, we're just trying to tell you something. If you can handle it, you know, we've all been messed with. If you can't, don't worry about it. If you can, then perhaps you can help us deal with this problem. And worldwide, if we do that, I think we'll find people who can, and I think we will.
So you've heard it here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. Black Krishna, the CKLN radio host, the host of Rude Awakenings on Monday mornings, Tuesday mornings, and Thursday mornings, and he's the leading spokesperson of Toronto Truth Seekers, which is a activist group that meets up in Toronto, related with the 9/11 Truth Movement and the H1N1 Alternative Information Movement, and the Carbon Septillionaires, looking out for the Carbon Septillionaires Movement. And Black Krishna has picked Alex Jones as a person of 2009. He's definitely made a lot of headlines. He's made a lot of news this year. Alex Jones released the films Obama Deception and also Follow the Republic, two of the top online viral movies of 2009, AlexJonesInfoWars.com. And just because Black Krishna picked Alex Jones as selected as a person of the year, I just got a quick clip here of Alex Jones breaking down the COP15 situation. COP15 was the other name for the Copenhagen meeting, and the Copenhagen agreement that has been signed. And well, here's a clip from the Alex Jones show where he breaks down President Obama's speech at Copenhagen and what he thought of it. And I thought this would be a great clip to play, because I do remember last year on the Word of Mouth Wednesday actually stating myself that President Obama, then President-elect Obama, was the person of 2008. So And you know, maybe I'm going to keep on thinking about it. Maybe we'll make an announcement next week for the Word of Mouth Person of 2008. We are going to play the interview of 2009, I should say. We're going to play the interview of 2009 coming up soon. But first, I just want to play this clip of Alex Jones versus President Obama on the situation of the Copenhagen Agreement.
And there he's saying you've got to have a global institution to enforce this agreement. Back to it.
That doesn't make sense. It would be a hollow victory. Number three, we must have financing that helps developing countries adapt, particularly the least developed and most vulnerable to climate change. America will be a part of a fast start funding that will ramp up to $10 billion by 2012.
Okay, stop right there. They say they're going to help the third world. All these are IMF World Bank loans backed up with Western tax money. And the loans are given, this was going on in 73, under State Department Memorandum 200, where Kissinger's talking about, we give them loans to sterilize their women and to cut off food. And in the future, you won't get loans unless you cut the amount of food you eat. This is eugenics. This is population reduction. Let's go back to the video.
Hillary Clinton, my Secretary of State, made it clear that we will engage in a global effort to mobilize $100 billion in financing by 2020, if and only if it is part of a broader accord that I've just described.
All right, and pause again. What he's saying there is, I'll give $100 billion to the third world, but we'll do it in 2020, 10 years after we're taxing you for carbon.
Mitigation, transparency, financing. It's a clear formula, one that embraces the principle of common but differentiated responses and respective capabilities. And it adds up to a significant accord, one that takes us farther than we have ever gone before as an international community.
International community, global government, we're talking about a planetary deal. We played in the earlier segment we played earlier today, we heard the Environment Minister of Canada, Jim Prentice, refer to it as a planetary deal. We've heard Gordon Brown, the head of the United Kingdom, mentioning this as the start of a new world order. And then we've also, you know, we're hearing global government, global governance, all around, you know, and different world leaders are referring it in different ways. But this is a planetary deal. It's a world deal that's going on in the price of carbon and how they're going to be putting this thing together. And we just played that. That was a clip from the Alex Jones show because Black Krishna has picked him as the person of the year for 2009. And, well, we're just going to play next up. We got our interview, Word of Mouth. This is my personal opinion of the Word of Mouth Wednesday interview of the year. And it was recorded May 29th, 2009. And it was an interview with Splitting the Sky that I interviewed Splitting the Sky, the great activist, also known as John Boncour, at the rally against the Bush-Clinton visit to Toronto. And that was in May 2009. We were off the air then, but I still had I still had my recorder, and I did some interviews there, and produced a clip for, it was originally for MediaCoop.ca, the Toronto Media Co-op, and then I played it back, once we got back on air, I played the clip because I knew it was important. Well, just to refresh, or in case you didn't hear it, this is that interview with Splitting the Sky.
Yeah, my name is Splitting the Sky.
I have heard a bit about your story here, about what happened in Calgary, I guess, on March 17th. But in case people haven't heard about it, though, do you mind mentioning what happened?
Yeah, what happened basically was is that I went to Calgary on the 17th. We organized a major demonstration because Bush was going to be giving a speech at the TELUS Convention Center. And it was going to be $400 a plate, 1,500 Alberta oil executives, people in the oil industry,
speak.
The Alberta Tar Sands, they were there to hear him speak, and he was given a $200,000 honorarium. The same people that organized that benefit, Bennett Jones and a couple of entrepreneurs, Ernst & Young, and unfortunately for this one here, the Global News Network, sponsors, but the same ones that sponsored them in Calgary sponsoring them here. We organized roughly 500 to 700 people. It was a large turnout. It was very spirited. And now we requested that he be arrested under the Immigration and Refugees Act of Canada, which basically doesn't allow war criminals into the country. There was a massive police buildup over there, just like there is here today. And I said that if George Bush comes into this country, if you don't arrest him for war crimes, according to this law, the Canadian Criminal Code, then I will effect the citizen's arrest, according to the legal clause known as civil resistance. And so they basically did not arrest him. And I decided at that moment to break the line. I broke the line and I went through and I was grabbed, apprehended, knocked to the ground, beaten severely with a slight head concussion. My glasses were broken. I was handcuffed and hauled off to jail. All the time, I was still yelling, arrest Bush. When I got to jail, I was booked and I was beaten inside the penitentiary, kneed in the groin, and I'm still suffering as a result of that at the moment. So on March 8th through the 12th, we got a trial date. I pled not guilty, and I said the real guilty criminal is still to be apprehended. A war criminal named George Bush and all of his neoconservative cabal. I intend to introduce a body of information relative to the fact of the tortures and the murders that were committed by the Bush administration. 96 known murders, right, as a result of torture. So that's what I intend to put on trial, and I intend to reverse the charges onto the Bush regime. Now, today, I'm down here in support of the resistance here, calling that Bush and Clinton be charged with war crimes here today. Now, no sooner than I got here, I had two RCMP agents come up on me and try to talk to me quietly, and they tried to intimidate me with a lie that was told by a provocateur, one of the many provocateurs milling around the people as we speak here today. So there's an agent provocateur that tells the police that I had told them that I intended to break the line and go in there, grab George Bush and kill him. So I said, well, you tell your provocateur and the rest of your crew that if you try to arrest me for that, the whole world will hear about it. All you're doing is shooting yourself in the foot. Now get out of my face and get lost. So that's where I'm at right now. Just get out of my face. They try to create a little kerfuffle, but then they seen all the people starting to come and they heard it. So there was witnesses, so they couldn't get away with it. There was witnesses they couldn't get away with. So they backed off and they left. We still got one objective in mind, indict the war criminals, arrest them and indict them.
Have you heard this, that the country, Spain, was working on something about prosecuting George Bush? Did you hear that at all?
Oh, absolutely. Baltazar Cardon, a Spanish judge, is demanding the prosecutorial staff to indict six of Bush administrators from the Office of Legal Counsel during the Bush regime for ordering the torture and the murders of the many innocent victims that died while inside a Bagram and Abu Ghraib in Guantanamo Bay. They basically will arrest Antonio Gonzalez, Alberto Gonzalez, William Haynes, who now is a lawyer for Chevron, David Addison, John Yoo, along with Bybee, I forget his first name, Bybee, who is a judge, is a federal judge, to indict them for pushing the envelope on the question of torture in violation of Article 3 of the Geneva Conventions.
One last question I just wanted to ask you about is your T-shirt. I noticed you have the Free Leonard Peltier T-shirt. Do you have any comments on that case?
Oh, absolutely. I carry Leonard Peltier with me all over the world because he is the longest held political prisoner in North America, along with Mumia Abu-Jamal. We're saying that this man has been falsely accused of killing two federal agents and should be released immediately. And that when we release the real the political prisoners in the United States and worldwide, and then we filled up those vacant cells with George Bush and the rest of his cabal.
So we got some objectives, and I'd just like to thank Splitting the Sky for your words today.
Thank you. And www.splittingthesky.net and www.warcriminalsout.com.
Word of mouth Wednesday. We're back here. We're on the show. We just played our interview of the year for 2009. You heard it right there. Split in the Sky, John Boncour, Native activist Split in the Sky. It was the first Nations activist who was at the Bush Clinton rally in Toronto that took place in May. And then he was also at the Bush rally in Calgary. And, well, that was some information and knowledge and truth from him on the situation. Everything that he was talking about, you can find different kinds of information on Split in the Sky. Just search Split in the Sky online. Actually, I also searched the latest on the Baltazar Carzon actions against George Bush for war crimes, and according to the latest information I can find from writings in the Huffington Post and also the Spanish newspaper Politico, reported that in September 2009, a few months ago, it was reported that the next phase of the investigation is being proceeded with. So Garzón is proceeding with the next phase of the investigation of the so-called Bush Six, who are the six Bush officials who are tied in with this alleged systematic program of torture at Guantanamo Bay. So that's a major situation going on. And actually, that just reminded me, because Split in the Sky, he speaks on a lot of different issues, but the last one we got in there had to do with political prisoners. And I just remembered that I have the Mumia Abu-Jamal clip of his thoughts on the Copenhagen Agreement. And since we opened the show talking about Copenhagen, I think it would be a good time to play the Mumia clip, his latest commentary on the limits of politics. Check it out.
Of our politics. As millions come to grips with the claimed agreements from the Copenhagen Conference on Climate Change, it's impossible to resist the suspicion that politics can provide no solution to the environmental and ecological problems facing the Earth. Despite the absurdity of shout shows which daily disparage global warming, it is a fact that sea ice in the Arctic is rapidly melting, as are Antarctica and Greenland ice sheets. This, coupled with melting glacial ice in places like the Himalayas, spells climate change that threatens disaster for millions of people in the region of Bangladesh and the Indian state of West Bengal. It means both flooding and drought, increased heat, more disease, and the destruction of human habitat. Politicians speaking for their nation states pledge a lessening of carbon emissions by 2020, thereby ignoring the view of many scientists that if all such emissions ceased today, the deleterious effects would be devastating. 11 years from now, very few of the politicians making today's agreement will be in office. As Bush showed, it's relatively easy to abrogate a treaty obligation. Just ignore it. Politicians are overwhelmingly the hirelings of the corporate class. They often do their bidding, as it is usually them and only them who can afford them. When the Tuvalu Islands, low-lying atolls in the Southwest Pacific, go underwater, when rivers burst in Bangladesh, when drought threatens millions in India and Africa, will we look back at Copenhagen and think, well done? I think not. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
Word of mouth Wednesday. We're back here, and we just want to play our final segment for today. I'm not sure if we'll be able to get through all of it. If we don't get through all of it, we're going to play the other part of it next week on our show, because we still got one last show for 2009. But because this is getting into the end of the year, there's not that many days left, so we're going to play a clip sent in here by Robin Nieto on the Christmas 2009 recap. Here is some highlight clips from this year in politics. Check it out. Word of mouth Wednesday.
The yeas are 220. The nays are 215. The bill is passed.
I want to say a few words about the landmark vote that the House of Representatives is poised to take today, a vote that can bring us one step closer to making real the promise of quality, affordable health care for the American people. For the better part of a year now, members of the House and the Senate have been working diligently and constructively to craft legislation that will benefit millions of American families and millions of American businesses who urgently need it. For the first time ever, they've passed bills through every single committee responsible for reform. They brought us closer than we have ever been to passing health insurance reform on behalf of the American people. Now's the time to finish the job. The bill that the House has produced will provide stability and security for Americans who have insurance, quality, affordable options for those who don't, and lower costs for American families and American businesses. And as I've insisted from the beginning, it is a bill that is fully paid for and will actually reduce our long-term federal deficit. I just came from the Hill where I talked to the members of Congress there, and I reminded them that opportunities like this come around maybe once in a generation. Most public servants pass through their entire careers without the chance to make as important a difference in the lives of their constituents and the life of this country. This is their moment. This is our moment to live up to the trust that the American people have placed in us, even when it's hard, especially when it's hard. This is our moment to deliver.
And for one interesting take on healthcare reform in the United States, here is U.S. citizen and documentary filmmaker Michael Moore at an information briefing on healthcare reform at the California State Legislature.
We have listened to this for the last 30 plus years about how the federal government is bad, state government, big government, bad. You know, and it's like, how did we ever cop the attitude that the government of, by, and for the people could be bad? Because the government's us, and we're not bad. I don't understand this. I don't understand, but they've done a good job, haven't they, convincing the average American you don't want to get the government involved. When somebody says that to me, you know what I say to them? I said, you know, really, you don't want the government involved? Ask your grandparents if that Social Security check comes every month. And it not only comes every month, my dad says it comes on the same day through the government-sponsored U.S. mail. And remarkably, it's the same amount every month. They actually get the check right. How do they do that? Tens of millions of seniors every month get a Social Security check on time for the exact amount. The American people have fallen for this myth that government is bad. It's only as bad. I heard Al Franken say a couple months ago. He said, you know, the Republicans, they run on a platform of the government is bad, it's evil, you don't let the government run things. And then once elected, they spend the next 4 years proving themselves right. You know?
Raul, you've been filming in Bolivia and Honduras. Tell us what you've been seeing on the ground.
Well, I just recently returned from Honduras with a delegation from the Latin American Solidarity Network, where we spent close to 10 days working and filming with the Frente de la Resistencia contra el Golpe, which is the group just made up of social movements which are struggling against the coup d'etat for the return of the President Manuel Zelaya in Honduras. So first, in terms of the North American media, the way the North American media has spun the struggle is that really it's a struggle between the executive branch and the judicial branch. So Manuel Zelaya was trying to reform the Constitution so he can stay in power for his whole life type thing, which is absolutely incorrect. When we were in Honduras and we met with all the social movements, which are comprised of, you know, the unions, the campesinos, the indigenous people, the Afro, the Garifuna people, students, middle-class folks, teachers are at the forefront of the struggle. They all made something very clear to us, which is obviously they want the return of the President Manuel Zelaya, who was democratically elected. But more importantly, this is one of the interviews we had with Berta Cáceres, who is the leader of one of the indigenous movements, Copin. She said the goal has been historical for us, which is a struggle to refound the nation, Honduras people, to bring forth a constitutional assembly, which is democratic, which is popular and open to all, so they can refound the nation to a more just society where, you know, the wealth and the political power is redistributed to the majority, not just to a select elite few.
Oh, I don't believe in the HST.
Why not?
Because we already pay enough. I just think it's being mismanaged. I think all the funds and all the taxes that we pay are not being effectively managed.
To get the story straight, we wanted to hear from both sides of the harmonized sales tax issue. In these clips, we start with the government. The Minister of Revenue, John Wilkinson, gives us what he calls HST 101.
Well, we're proposing a comprehensive tax package for taxpayers and businesses because our goal is to help Ontario become even more competitive so we can produce more, export more, and most importantly, create more jobs. Times have changed. We're witnessing the biggest global economic downturn in some 80 years. If we want Ontario to stay strong, we must change too. Experts agree merging the provincial sales tax and the GST to create one sales tax is the single most important thing that we can do to give Ontario a competitive advantage. Together with our tax cuts, it would attract investment and jobs. It would also help protect those things, like our schools and hospitals, that make Ontario a better place to live.
NDP MPP for Toronto Danforth, Peter Tabbins.
You know, harmony is a really wonderful word, but what's happening here is a big tax shift, and what it's going to mean is that all kinds of things that used to be exempted from the provincial sales tax in the past are now going to be covered by provincial sales tax. So if you're working at minimum wage, if you're working part-time trying to get through school, if you're a senior, you're going to find your everyday expenses are going to go up. There are tax reductions, income tax reductions, but frankly, a lot of people are on minimum wage or on a pension now, don't pay much in income tax, but they're going to be stuck.
Word up, word of mouth Wednesday. That was just some clips there, highlights of the year 2009 sent in by Robin Yetto. We didn't get to finish that clip, but we still got a few minutes left in that, so maybe we'll play the rest of that next week coming up on our last show of 2009. Plus, we'll have all new material, all more material, new, some new and then some more highlights, I guess, of the year. Maybe we'll even come up with a person of the year. I'm not sure. I'm going to keep on thinking about it, but we definitely played our interview of the year, Split in the Sky, earlier today. At least that was my choice for interview of the year. It's all subjective. It's all everyone's has a different opinion. Well, that was my opinion. Was Split in the Sky was a monumental interview of the year. I got to speak with him in person at the Bush Clinton rally, and then I got some of his DVDs. I've been studying some of the work he's been doing on the September 11th situation. You know, he was involved with the Attica prison rebellion. He was also involved with the Gustafson Lake, and he's been speaking out and speaking, searching for the truth on the 9/11 situation, 2001. So September 11th and Split in the Sky are, you know, they're connected, definitely. So we're just going to get into reading out a few events. Just want to make sure that we get a few events in here before the end of the show. I just wanted to announce some. You can check out socialistproject.ca for the events. Okay, did you hear that? socialistproject.ca. If you're ever looking for events, listings, or information on what's going on in Toronto, because they have a few listings there. And then coming up, this Sunday is the 1 year since Gaza Freedom March. It's taking place. Community and activist organizations in Toronto are holding a rally marking the 1 year anniversary of the situation in Gaza that took place last year. And it's taking place this Sunday, December the 27th at 1 p.m. at 180 Bloor Street West, in front of the Israeli consulate. So 1 p.m. in front of the Israeli consulate, 180 Bloor Street in Toronto, downtown. This Sunday is that event, 1 year since Gaza, a solidarity march going on. And you can find more information on that at GazaFreedomMarch.ca. GazaFreedomMarch.ca. And then we've got an event going on Tuesday, December the 29th. It's a solidarity march from Street Health to the Neighborhood Link. And it's taking place at 9 a.m. on Tuesday, December 29th, in front of Street Health, which is 338 Dundas Street East. 338 Dundas Street East. And it's a march calling to reinstate Gaetan Hero. It's a march to Scarborough from Street Health with the homeless contingent that we're going to walk from downtown, from the downtown east. And, well, that's going to be a big situation going on. I guess there's also a petition online. You can find out more information from the Friends of Street Health and the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty at ocap.ca for more information on that. And then we also, I just wanted to make sure I ran down what we went through today. We started off with some words on the Copenhagen Agreement, a monumental agreement, a worldwide framework is in place now. So we played some of the clips from the federal officials, and then we played the Toronto Truth Seeker Street Action reaction to the Copenhagen situation. Stop Global Cooling, Look Out for Carbon Septillionaires, Climate Gate, and the Carbon Tax Awareness Campaign. Then we played the music track by Raw Dog, Living in a Time. And then we had words on the HST, the Harmonized Sales Tax of a 13% that's coming in. The interview with MPP Peter Tabbins. And then we also played the Word of Mouth Wednesday choice, or my personal choice for the interview of the year was Splitting the Sky that took place in May 2009 when I interviewed him at the Bush Clinton rally. So we replayed that interview. We had a quick music track by Promise, and then we played a bit of the Person of the Year 2009 picked by Black Krishna, and then we played a bit of the Alex Jones show where he commented on Barack Obama's Copenhagen speech. We played the Mumia Abu-Jamal commentary. I just read out a few event listings coming up on Sunday. It's the 1 year since Gaza Solidarity March. And then Tuesday, it's the March at Street Health in support of Gaetan Hero to reinstate the worker Gaetan Hero. And more info on that at ocap.ca. And yeah, just want to thank everyone for listening to the show today and wish everyone happy holidays. My name's Daniel Libby, and I'm one of the co-hosts here on Word of Mouth Wednesday. I'm behind the chair right now at the second floor studio of CKLN 88.1 FM, and we're just signing out. The blues doctor, Julie Hill, is in the building. Blue Remedy's coming up next, and well, just signing out, and peace, word is bond, and word out.